faintly light. There were camels near where he was lying. He could hear their gurgling and their heavy breathing. He could not bring himself to attempt opening his eyes, just in case it should turn out to be impossible. However, when he heard someone approaching, he found that he had no difficulty in seeing. The man looked at him dispassionately in the grey morning light. With one hand, he pinched together the professor's nostrils. When the professor opened his mouth to breathe, the man swiftly seized his tongue and pulled on it with all his might. The professor was gagging and catching his breath. He did not see what was happening. He could not distinguish the pain of the brutal yanking from that of the sharp knife. Then there was an endless choking and spitting that went on automatically as though he was scarcely a part of it. The word operation kept going through his mind. It calmed his terror somewhat as he sank back into darkness. The caravan left sometime toward mid-morning. The professor, not unconscious, but in a state of utter stupor, still gagging and drooling blood, was doubled up into a sack and tied at one side of a camel. The lower end of the enormous amphitheater contained a natural gate in the rocks. The camels, swift Mihara, were lightly laden on this trip. They passed through single file and slowly mounted the gentle slope that led up into the beginning of the desert. That night, at a stop behind some low hills, the men took him out, still in a state which permitted no thought. And over the dusty rags that remained of his clothing, they fastened a series of curious belts made of the bottoms of tin cans strung together. One after another of these bright girdles was wired about his torso, his arms and legs, even across his face, until he was entirely within a suit of armor that covered him with its circular metal scales. There was a good deal of merriment during this decking out of the professor. One man brought out a flute, and a young one did a not ungraceful caricature of an Ulid Nile executing a cane dance. The professors were no longer conscious. To be exact, he existed in the middle of the movements made by these other men. When they had finished dressing him the way they wished him to look, they stuffed some food under the tin dangles hanging over his face. Even though he chewed mechanically, most of it eventually fell out onto the ground. They put him back into the sack and left him there.